Imagine this. It's 1994, and you are one of 8 scientists, 4 men and 4 women, selected to be part of a grand experiment into the future of humanity. Your new home is a glass enclosure called E2, somewhere off in the wilds of the Arizona desert. Now, E2 is a prototype of a possible off-Earth colony. It's got 5 biomes: rainforest, savanna, desert, ocean, and marsh. Pretty sweet. The only catch is you have to stay in this structure for 2 whole years. This is the premise behind acclaimed novelist T.C. Boyle's new book, The Terranauts. It was inspired by the actual Biosphere 2 experiments during the 1990s, and here's Doug Gordon's conversation with him.
What was it about the Biosphere 2 project that you found so interesting that you thought it would make a good subject for your novel?
Well, as you know, Doug, since we've talked before over the years, I love to consider us as an animal species on the Earth, mm-hmm. as a green writer, as an environmentalist. I love to do a kind of what-if scenario. So what would it be like to be locked inside this glass structure with, by the way, tourists looking at you, mission control overseeing your every move, having little or no privacy, and having to really become a kind of subsistence farmer? They had to grow their own food.
Yeah.
In the company of these other people whom you may love, but after a while, you know, love can only take you so far. So I wondered, what would it be like?
What are the other big challenges that your 8 Terranauts face?
Sex. I didn't realize how sexy this was going to be, but 4 men, 4 women locked in for 2 years, what are they going to do in there? Food. They were essentially subsistence farmers. They had to grow everything that they produced. They had some farm animals in there, some domestic animals and so on, which they eventually ate. But to make it, the men lost something like 12% of their body weight within a month, and the women something like 8%. It was subsistence farming. They were burning more calories than they were taking in.
Good weight loss program. This kind of thing, maybe Jenny Craig could open a Jenny Craig weight loss biome or something.
Absolutely.
You tell the story of the Terranauts through 3 narrators. Can you tell me a bit about the 3 narrators?
Yeah, sure. The first is Dawn Chapman. She's in her late 20s. And she is one of the lucky ones who was included in this experiment. They had to winnow the 16 candidates down to 8. She was one of them who made it in. The second is Ramsey Ruthorpe. He is the communications officer for the Terranauts inside the Ecosphere 2. He's early 30s. He's a wise guy. Ooh, he's a very sexy kind of guy. And he is determined that no matter what happens, they will not open that airlock. The third is Linda Ryu. She was one of the original 16, but rejected for my 2-year closure, given a promise that if she stays on as support staff outside the ecosphere, then she will be included as one of the Terranauts for Mission 3.
Mm-hmm. And this would be a good time to have you read an excerpt from the Terranauts. I was thinking of one of the Dawn Chapman excerpts. I was thinking about when they first move into E2.
Well, all right, my dear fellow. I've got a book here, and I will look at it and give it to you. So the book is in 4 sections, and the first section is pre-closure. This is when they're all vying to get in. The second section is closure year 1, the third closure year 2, and the fourth section is re-entry. This is the opening chapter of the second section. Once they have entered and been sealed inside. And this is from the point of view of the first narrator, Dawn Chapman. I don't think I've ever felt anything like it. One minute, I was outside in the world, and the next, I was a living part of E2, waving mindlessly through the glass at a sea of faces while Gyro pulled the hatch shut. It's hard to describe. I'd been through that portal countless times over the course of the past 5 months. It was our worksite, after all. And I knew the smells, sounds, and configuration of E2 as well as I knew the suburban house I'd grown up in. But this was different. I suppose I'd be lying to myself if I said the ceremony didn't have something to do with it. The band playing, cameras flashing, people cheering. And yet it wasn't that so much as the hatch clanking shut and the lever locking in place that made the emotion overwhelm me till the tears started up in my eyes. Tears of joy, yes, tears of relief, but of something else, too. Anxiety, I guess you'd have to call it. Or maybe uncertainty, maybe that would be more accurate. This really was a new world. And now I was in it, and there was no going back. I think we all felt it. Felt it as a team. The atmosphere literally shifting around us. There was a dense green living aura to the air inside that was utterly unlike the thin, stingy air of the desert surrounding us. The minute you were inside, there it was, in your nostrils. You smelled mold, spores, damp earth, process, the ants and termites and microbes in the soil breaking things down, even as the fronds of the banana trees loomed overhead and the palms reached to the sun-shot lattice of our sky. It was air you could taste, air that went in and out of your pores as if your whole body was a pair of lungs. And over it all, the great roar of the fans and blowers of the technosphere that kept it all going, our life support kicking in and running as steadily as a heartbeat, day and night. That was what it was like inside. That was what hit you, hit me, in those first few moments of closure. And not just that, but the wildness of it, too, the unpredictability of a self-generating ecosphere, the coquille frogs rattling away at their two-note song and the galagos hooting from the trees as if evolution were running in high gear and there was no end to what could happen here. Wow, can you believe it? It was Stevie, standing right beside me, her face so close to mine I could make out the shallow pit of a childhood scar at the corner of her mouth, an indentation there I'd never noticed before. It was a flaw. The only flaw in that perfect face, and it humanized her, gave her character. Stevie, the real-world person who was capable of suffering and hurt just like anybody else. She'd turned to me, still waving to the glassed-out crowd, her eyes in soft focus. Can you? No. It's incredible, isn't it?
Thank you, TC. That was great.
You're welcome.
I found it very interesting that the Jeremiah Reed character, God the Creator, alias GC, has the eight Terranauts inside E2 perform plays every so often. Why does he do this?
This is based on the true history, by the way. John Allen had been a theatrical guy and, like my character, had been in Broadway plays. He felt in team bonding, it was very important that they should perform plays together. And so I've chosen three plays throughout this novel that they perform as a team bonding exercise. And of course, in the larger view, there is a theatricality to what they did. In the original biosphere, was it really science? Well, science posits a theory, and then you do experiments to see if that theory is correct. Well, they didn't do that. They did something like, with tremendous chutzpah, you know, let's create a world. Let's put on a show, kids. Let's go inside. Let's see what happens. And I think that is valid.
Sure.
One thing that fascinates me, Doug, is what if they were 10 friendly billionaires and they'd built 10 of these things a mile apart in the Arizona desert? Each one, if it had gone 100 years, would have been a radically different world with different evolution of the creatures inside. It would have been quite fascinating as an experiment. So I think there is validity to what they were doing, but it's not strictly science. And of course, to attract attention, and they did attract enormous attention,
yeah,
the theatricality did not hurt.
Yeah. And one of the plays, as you mentioned, GC, the God the Creator, the Jeremiah Reed character, picks three plays for them to perform. And one of the ones that he chooses is Jean-Paul Sartre's classic, No Exit. Why did you choose this one?
Well, it's fairly obvious, I think. And I use an epigraph from it for the quote, you know, hell is other people.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that is true as a proposition. And so it seemed natural that the third play, when they are all having a lot of inner tension, would be No Exit.
Mm-hmm. It sure seems to be true. The fact that what goes on, without giving stuff away, it does seem true that hell is other people to a certain extent. And that line reminds me of something that the great British science fiction writer J.G. Ballard once said. When you work in an office, you have to suppress the biological urge to kill everyone around you. And I'd say that this very same biological urge also can apply to working in a biodome. Don't you think?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the quote. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I want to run this theory by you. I think that the Terranauts, in a way, could be seen as a prequel to your 2000 novel, A Friend of the Earth, because A Friend of the Earth is set in the year 2025, and as a result of our destruction of the environment, the climate has changed and biodiversity no longer exists. You said at that time when that novel came out that that novel addresses the essential question of ecology. Do we have the right to use the Earth for our own purposes? And what are the natural consequences of living as if we have dominion here? I'd say that those same questions are at the heart of the Terranauts. What do you think?
Yeah, very much so. That's a great observation. I am coming to you from a place where we are in the fifth year of our drought. I live in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. We are on a mandatory water restriction of 30%. And of course, as an ecologist, I was using the minimum to begin with, so it makes it difficult. Climate change has come much more rapidly than we could ever dream of. We all turned on our showers 10 years ago thinking, well, you know, so our grandchildren have to wash in sand like birds. What do we care? It's here already. And by the way, it has been very difficult on my wife and me because we're only able to bathe once a month. And we do this together in the bathtub so that we can then use what's left over to water the plants and, of course, then boil the spaghetti.
Wow. Only once a month?
Yep. That's it.
Wow.
By the way, I'm joking. And I,
okay.
I just fell for it.
Back in 2003, you said that we are all imminently doomed. And you asked the question, what is exactly the point of being here in the first place? 13 years later, have you come to any conclusions about the meaning of life? Are you any closer to finding it out?
Another great question. So I'm writing about the ecosphere, and I wrote about the removal of invasive species on Santa Cruz Island and the aforementioned book about global warming. I'm playing with the idea of what we are doing here. We are animals, but we're not animals in another sense, too, in that we have a spirituality. We have a brain that is not quantifiable, really. What does it mean? Why are we doing this? Why are we here? Of course, those are the ultimate questions that we all ask throughout our lives. I have no answer. My only solace is in nature. I love to be in nature as an animal in nature, which is why I call myself an environmentalist, simply because I like to be alone in nature. And prior to going on this tour, I spent the most of the last 2 months up in the Sierras at 7,200 feet out in the Sequoia National Forest. And every day when I was done with work, I would go deep into the woods by myself. Yes, I'd bring a book and contemplate things, but it's so essential to me to have this, to feel some bigger thing, to be an animal attached to animal existence when most of the time we're so detached from it. We're so obsessed with our devices and our machines and artificial reality. In fact, of gaming and games, I've said, you know, it's a good thing we have virtual reality because real reality is on its way out. So I don't have any good news. I'm still just contemplating things and creating stories. I create stories in the way that one of my close friends, Pablo Campos, the painter, makes paintings. It's what we do. It's our way of creating something which stands against the negativity and the depression of having no purpose in life. We all want to have a purpose, but really, we have to create our own.
Yeah. Yeah, and you've certainly done that for our enjoyment and edification. Do you think that you could last 2 years in a biodome?
Great question. I couldn't last 5 minutes in a biodome. I would kill and eat everybody within a week. No way. I need space. I need to roam. I need to be outside. This would have been very difficult for me. Yes, I lead a very public life. I love to talk with you on the radio. I like to be on TV. I don't mind that. I love to be on stage to turn people on. But there's also an introverted side of me. And that's when I'm writing and when I'm out in that woods by myself. I need it so desperately. And I'm lucky to be able to have both the company of my fellow humans and also their absence.
That's the writer T.C. Boyle. His new novel is called The Terranauts, and that was Doug Gordon talking with him.